WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Richmond's mayor says he's not waiting anymore. He's bringing the Confederate statues down, and city workers began with Stonewall Jackson. Virginia considers strict new safety requirements for businesses that are now reopening. And some immigrants are concerned about new laws that took effect Wednesday. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, July 2nd. Richmond has begun to remove the Confederate statues along Monument Avenue. Citing public safety, Mayor LeVar Stoney says he has the authority to take them down immediately. And the process began Wednesday afternoon. Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain was there as the first monument came down.
Confederate General Stonewall Jackson has sat atop his bronze horse and granite pedestal at the corner of Monument Avenue and Arthur Ashe Boulevard in downtown Richmond for 101 years. Wednesday, he came down. A crane and crew showed up at the monument in the early afternoon. Shortly after, the people followed. The crowd swelled to the hundreds and included cello player Beth Almore. Almore has lived in Richmond for 24 years, but says it's never felt like home, in part because of these statues. She says having them come down and be recontextualized helps make her more comfortable in the city.
I'm personally happy to see them go because I grew up in Connecticut and wasn't exposed to these kinds of traumatic symbols. And when I moved to Richmond, I saw Confederate flags everywhere and I saw these monuments and it literally made me sick to my stomach. And I had to learn how to not drive down this street and how to avoid Jeff Davis Highway so that I wouldn't feel sick to my stomach on the way to work.
Now, as she watches the crew prepare to take the first one down, the moment is bittersweet, she says, because it shouldn't have taken this long. Facing the Stonewall Jackson Monument, at the corner of this intersection, is Richmond's First Baptist Church. The congregation has been here almost as long as the statue has. As the afternoon sun beats down on the growing crowd, church member Bonnie Wilmoth hands out water bottles. She agrees it's time for the statue to come down. She just wasn't expecting it today.
I think he has to go. I wish it could be different. I wish we could put some context, but if people are still being oppressed by the presence of him and others, then I think that's where we are today. And I choose to spread love and not hate, as the church does.
As a private crew contracted by the city does the nitty-gritty work of making history, the crowd entertains itself with chants and cheers. Suddenly, behind Stonewall Jackson, storm clouds roll in, lightning flashes, and the rain bursts forth. Regina Pritchard laughs under her umbrella, her camera and face still turned up towards the monument.
This is a great day for our ancestors, and they are sharing tears of joy and happiness.
We're a long time coming.
And then, to the sound of thunder and church bells, the Confederate general is lifted off his pedestal and slowly lowered back to the ground. In Richmond, I'm Mallory Nopain.
Virginia is considering strict new safety requirements for businesses that are now reopening. The proposed standard is controversial in the business community, though. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Companies across Virginia could be required to follow significant new sanitation guidelines, make arrangements for physical distancing, and notify workers when anybody in the workplace is exposed to COVID-19. These are some of the new mandates under consideration by the Virginia Health and Safety Board. Stephen Hayner at the Thomas Jefferson Institute says these new requirements would be a lot of red tape and paperwork at a time when businesses are already struggling with the economic crisis.
That's never been the case with colds and flu and other types of viral diseases that you can pick up pretty much anywhere in the world. So it's not been considered a workplace illness. as opposed to, say, you got exposed to a bad chemical or you broke your arm or something like that.
Virginia would be the first state to have these kinds of requirements this strict for all businesses. Jason Urashes at the Legal Aid Justice Center says Virginia has an opportunity here to be on the vanguard rather than just being a laggard.
Virginia is in a good position to be a leader and be on the right side of history here and be a model for other states in the South and across the nation to show that we're not just protecting businesses during this historic pandemic, but we're also protecting the workers that keep all the businesses and the economy afloat.
Business groups are pushing for a public hearing before any of these emergency standards are put in place. Michael Pope.
New laws that directly apply to immigrants in Virginia took effect on Wednesday, but many immigrants are unsure about their rights under the changes, and they're concerned about how using COVID-19 relief programs can impact their legal standing. Virginia Public Radio's Kat Modlin Jackson reports.
Legal Aid Justice Center attorney Nicholas Moritz applauded the state's new whistleblower law for protecting employees from retaliation for things like reporting suspected workplace violations. He explains that immigrants legally authorized to work can exercise this right without fear.
But if they don't have work authorization, there's very, in practice, little that they can do.
Meanwhile, as COVID-19 relief options continue to come online, Moritz's colleagues have been fielding a stream of questions from those who fear that using services will trigger a federal public charge rule and jeopardize their residential status. Simon Sandoval Moschenberg directs the organization's immigrant advocacy program.
Very little counts towards public charge.
The immigrant community's fear is far greater than the legal impact, he says. Medical services like COVID-19 testing are exempt, he explains, as are resources like unemployment insurance and pandemic EBT. But it's less clear whether or not payments made through the state's new rental assistance program will apply. Sandoval Moschenberg thinks there's a good chance they won't.
Those payments are not made to the tenant. The tenant is not being given a check and then told, go pay your rent.
One thing that does count against the public charge rule, he says, is an eviction. I'm Kat Modlin Jackson.
Finally today, it's more than a year away, but several Democrats in Virginia are already raising millions of dollars in a bid to become the next governor. Former Governor Terry McAuliffe's fundraising committee announced Wednesday that it took in $1.7 million over the last 2 months. McAuliffe told the Washington Post there's a strong possibility that he'll run again for his old job. Democratic delegate Jennifer Carroll Foy says her campaign took in about $775,000 in the last financial quarter. And Richmond State Senator Jennifer McClellan has raised nearly $250,000 in the week after she announced her candidacy for governor. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. Stay safely connected and enjoy your Thursday.